A lot of good things in those worship songs. I think most of us probably in our day have to get to a point where we cast our cares upon Him. I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about the human will. I had watched a movie not too long ago about Corrie Ten Boom's life. And I guess it always amazes me the will of man to survive, but also how that will is brought to a point of being able to serve by God. Those strong wills. And I guess that's part of what I pray for my own kids, for myself, that I would come more and more to understanding His will for me, but more importantly, submitting to that. To being at a point of relentless searching and relentless repentance, relentless seeking for His will to be submitted to Him. I'm going to start in the book of Psalms tonight, and just wanted to look at a couple of things. You know, there is a theme in the Scriptures that as it was in the beginning, so it will be in the end. In Psalms chapter 2, the writer says, "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you perish in the way. His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are those who put their trust in Him." There is nothing that has to be done in order for someone, nothing else, no other work by God that has to be done for a person to come to Jesus Christ. There is only one thing that stands in their way. That is their own will. And when we look through the Scriptures, we see a lot of different things. A lot of people exerting their will against God's authority. People submitting their will to God's authority. People searching for God's authority or wanting it maybe when they aren't going to get it. People who gave, like Saul, who gave away God's authority, who treated it as not convenient for what his goals were, for what his will decided could be done. And in Psalm 63, it says, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory." Go back to Psalm 18. "To see your power and your glory." To see His power and His glory requires someone to love Him, to seek Him, to bow before Him, to render themselves helpless to Him. Psalm 18 says, "I will love you. I people love you, O my Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me. The floods of ungodliness made me afraid. Isn't that the day we live in? The floods of ungodliness. If you take a few minutes to watch the national news on any level, be it conservative or the liberal media, there is this ungodly flood of the will of man asserting itself on populations, people, situations, everywhere. I want my will to be done. There's a prayer, our Father prayer, Thy will be done. Thy will be done, O Lord. The sorrows of Sheol, or near the gates of hell, surround me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried out to my God. He heard my voice from His temple, and my cry came before Him, even to His ears. To those who love Him, what a comfort, what a strength it is to know that when I go into my closet at night, my heart is breaking for my children. Some of them who've wandered very far into idol worship and things I don't understand why anybody would want those things. Why would they want those things? I don't know. They were shown the way of truth. But I know my cry comes before His ears. In verse 7 it says, then the earth shook, trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken because He was angry. Smoke went up from His nostrils and a devouring fire from His mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under His feet. And He rode upon a cherub. And He flew. And He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness a secret place. His canopy around Him. Dark waters. Thick clouds of the skies. And from the brightness before Him, His thick clouds passed. Hailstones and coals of fire. And the Most High uttered His voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out His arrows and scattered the foe, lightnings in abundance. He vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered at Your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of Your nostrils. Our God is great and mighty, full of compassion, love. His voice, hailstones and coals of fire, destruction and justice are in His ways. And you can walk into a nice house in Cedar Rapids, just doing service, and someone will have a grotto, 3-4 statues of Mary with all kinds of stuff to worship in one room, and literally idols, wooden idols to Ashtaroth in their closets. The God of fertility, you know? As it was in the beginning, so will be at the end. Go to, back to Psalm 63. We left off it. To see Your power and Your glory, because Your kindness is better than life. God, Lord God, when we can take a true inventory of ourselves, whether we have been morally corrupt or in really dramatic ways, or morally corrupt in not so dramatic ways, or just whispered in silence some sinful thing against maybe a parent or a loved one, or, you know, whatever that sin is. When we're relentless in picking ourselves up after we've sinned and brushing ourselves off, we come to this because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. There's no blessing, God, after we die. For some, we're going to praise Him. I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow fatness. My mouth shall praise you with joyful lips when I remember you in my bed. Meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They'll be the portion for the jackals. But the King, Jesus Christ, shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by Him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. We have entered a time that is very different from when I was a kid. In the early 70s, we've entered a time of mass self-exaltation, where every single person sees themselves in a quality of importance. So I'm as important as the president, or I'm as important as that person, and therefore I should be exalted like him. I should be given that credit, whether I've done anything or not. I might be a basement dweller, and I think I own that. And there are those who, within the body of Christ, have come here. Churches all over the United States, all over the world, who have said, Lord, Lord, who have called Him by His name. Why are they not going into the kingdom of heaven? They've gone to church. They've praised His name. They've gone to church picnics. They've believe they've done certain things. Have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to you, to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. A lot of times over the years in my travels, I met a lot of religious people, and their claim very definitely, I know Jesus. But have we humbled ourselves enough that He knows us. Have we come before Him? Have we been merciless in the examination of our souls, who we are? Romans chapter 7. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. That's why we've been redeemed. We've been purchased. We were sold under sin. But when we believe in Jesus Christ, when we open our hearts and our minds and our souls, when we hold nothing back from Him, when we are willing to seek Him, to forego our will, to forego our desires, to see what He will have for us, we become redeemed. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. How many of us have found ourselves, for instance, just driving, and something happens driving in the car, whether somebody cuts you off or just does something really stupid, and all of a sudden, boom, what are you doing, you idiot? Me? Ask my wife. Yeah, she'll point at me, not her. You know, the constant picking out of the stones from our heart. So it says, let's go to where I left off. If I then do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but the very sin that dwells within me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. You know, how many Christians have we known over the years? I've known a few who willed so desperately to be free of their sin, who prayed about it, who sought counsel about it, who did everything in their power to get control over it. They still found themselves practicing. It is because you can't reform the flesh with the flesh. It doesn't have any power. It is condemned. But there is good news. For the good that I will do, the good that I will to do in verse 19, I don't do it. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Do you have a war in your mind? God bless you. That's a never-ending fight. If you meet a Christian who says, I don't deal with temptation at all, better watch out. You better watch out. You better witness to them because they need you. I find that a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh. I know what my flesh says. I know what my flesh says. It says a lot of evil things. But He calls us to the cross. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who have died on the cross with Christ Jesus, who can look at that cross and say, I deserve that. And not only that, but I see that Jesus summed up my good, my bad, everything about me. He nailed it there. Took it to the grave with Him. I love baptisms. I love baptisms. In fact, I'm going to jump back to Romans chapter 6, verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, that one that was back here in verse 8, or verse 7, O wretched man that I am, that old man has been crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For who has died, for he who has died has been freed. And if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once. For who? For all. But the life that he lives to God. It is so sad. It is only the will of man that keeps a human being from this. From plumbing the depths of His goodness and grace and peace and majesty and might. And to know the fear of God is to know the holiness of God. To know what it is to tremble and be afraid. To know His love. Because it is that fear of the Lord that causes us to seek out His love. Look for mercy. For the law of the Spirit of life, Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through His flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, condemned to sin in the flesh. A lot of people think sin is a very old-fashioned term. You know, it's just the man's way to keep people in line. That it's just keeping me from having a good time. And, you know, I know that if, you know, I just do my thing, I'll be happy. Lord knows that doing your own thing can bring a pile of misery like we've never seen before. I learned that firsthand. I learned that firsthand. What a nightmare it was. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your grace. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. A man or woman who lives their life summing up their willpower to fight sin in their own strength misses out on the infilling of the Holy Spirit, they get so enamored with what I am doing to fulfill God's law, they don't let the Spirit fulfill the law in them and through them and for them. If we don't have peace in our fight with sin, then the Holy Spirit is not fighting. I'm not saying that we have peace and we just make friends with sin. I'm saying that if in the fight of our sins that we can't find peace, we are not letting the Holy Spirit fight for us. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Quite a while ago, when I became a new Christian, about 1994, late October, that next spring, 1995, God was doing just like all kinds of stuff in my life. And I remember this first big hurdle that I had. It was called my brother. And every morning I would go into work with my brother. And every morning on the way into work, I'd be praying, God, you know, he's going to say this, and I'm going to say that. And, you know, he'll just be amazed at, you know, how calm and everything and all this. And I'm not kidding you. God has a good sense of humor. And except it wasn't funny to me at the time. And I got to this point where I just summed up all my will. It just doesn't matter what he's going to say today. I'm going to walk Christ. I'm just going to be like Jesus. And I walked in, said, hey, good morning, how you doing? I don't remember what he said. All I remember was me, red-faced, yelling right back at him. And I just gave up. I just gave up. Finally. I was like, finally, Jamie, you get it. Just give up. Because if we'll put our eyes on him, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. When I try to summon my will and my mind, my strength to fight my sin and the evil that is in the natural man, I lose every time. But because the carnal mind is enmity with God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. For then those who are in the flesh can't please God. If I'm asserting my will, my life, and please don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about being some automaton. God gave us free will because he wanted a creation of those created in his image to worship him of their own free will. So those who are in the flesh can't please God. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. What is righteousness? It is right standing with God. When we agree with God, you're right about me. You know, on every front, God. That brings righteousness. And if Christ is in you, body is dead. Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. His Spirit. Through his Spirit who dwells in you. You ever work with somebody that absolutely could not do it any other way but their way? Now, a lot of you haven't worked with me. So. consider the Spirit of God who looks for that ground where He can come into and begin to mold and shape His children. If we are bound and determined that we are going to still fulfill God's will by the works of that which is dead and condemned, the Spirit's not going to have much to work with. And He will continue to try for those who are calling on Jesus' name, who, whether out of ignorance or unbelief or whatever it is, He will continue to work on them. How many years now? Ephesians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as it is fitting for the saints. Neither filthiness nor foolishness, foolish talking, coarse jesting, that are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness. Not once in darkness. You were once darkness. Verse 8, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the fruit or unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is a shameful thing even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead. Christ will give you light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for the things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting one to another in the fear of God. The will of man doesn't want to submit. I think a generation now fed, every generation from the beginning of time has been fed some form of it. The self-aggrandizement. You know, ever since I was a young Christian, those words, and maybe it's just the way pastor phrases them, well, it looks good to me. Looks good for food. Looks good to make one wise. Why not? Here. Oh, yeah. Ooh. You know? All of a sudden realizing you've been cut off from the very one you love by an act of your own will and volition that said, I know better than you, God. Anyone who calls Christ by name, says, I love Jesus, has had some understanding that they stood before, they right there on the precipice of looking down into hell, knowing, I'm going there, I deserve to go there, Jesus saved me. Yeah, I know I was lost, Jesus saved me. The will of man that can look at the cross and mock it. I used to see a car quite often, and when I lived in Virginia, and you know, the little stick figures, everybody's got, there's all kinds of little stick figures, right? You know, stick mommy and daddy and stick kids, or, you know, fish mommy and daddy and fish kids. This one was a Tyrannosaurus Rex eating crosses. Mom and the cross, daddy cross, kids eating, throwing the crosses. Bang. I hope she repents. Hope she has time to repent. There's a lot of things that promise pleasure, of promise goodness and peace, and you can't satisfy the will enough to ever get peace. Not from humanity, not from us, not from that that's already cursed and dead. You'll never make peace with it. Doesn't matter how much you give it, it will never be satisfied. A little bit. All I want. You know. Ever, ever, ever. And the beast grows and grows and grows. What is the opposite of that? Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I was reading Ephesians, Paul saying, I think it was Ephesians, Paul saying, you know, I'm kind of caught in between, I don't know what to do. You know, I whether to go ahead and let myself be killed and be with Christ, it's a more needful thing that I stay here with you. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. This is the one. What shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is a more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain, continue with you all for the progress of joy and faith. That Paul would continue with them all for their progress and joy of faith. That rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by coming to you once again. Found that secret of life, an abundance of joy, of faith. Didn't matter whether he was abased or he abounded. I constantly reminded by Satan the things that I have done. I hear that voice in my head all the time, puts those thoughts in there. But there's someone else who constant, constant light, peace. And sometimes my will overshadows that. Sometimes grumpy, stinky Jamie comes out. But in a bigger sense, I grow older. I've made these trials part of life.
have found peace and strength in them. Because I get up every day and getting that reminder, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. Thank God for that. Drives me to Him. My first love. I was on the road before we moved back here. Left my job in Virginia and had gone back to golf course construction. And I struggled a lot. And I got down to this one simple prayer. Jesus, I want to lose you. I don't want to die and go to hell. But I know both things are happening. What do I do? And He showed me. And He made a path. All I had to do was just follow Him. So hard. Because it wasn't what I wanted. I thought I was doing what I wanted. So thankful that He's patient with us, long-suffering with us, that He will do things to allow us to see how frail we are, strength of our will. God, help us. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love You. We love the kingdom that is coming. We love You because You put Your Spirit within us. You put a desire for things that are not of this world in our hearts. And Lord, I just ask that You would take this word. Make of it what You will. What is not of You, Lord, let it just pass. Father, strengthen the saints. Faith, joy, love, fill us, Lord, with Your Spirit daily and cause us, Lord God. Take away those crutches from us, but cause us to seek You, Lord. And we'll give You the praise, glory, Lord. And we look forward to giving You that praise and that glory ever. That is the promise to the saints, that we will be with not one who has life, but the one who is life. Jesus, You are life. We thank You that You have given us light and life today. Give You thanks and praise in Jesus' name.